Jason here from the radio in Laguna Beach, California. Really had some great interviews this week with people that are playing at the Segerstrom Theatre for the Performing Arts. That's up there in Costa Mesa, California. And their season continues this week with Toshi Regan, who is just the greatest. And I must tell you, kind of under the radar, because I was not familiar with Toshi's work until a couple of days ago when I started watching YouTube videos, and I'm now completely addicted. Toshi's on the phone with me right now, and we're going to talk to her about the show. How are you doing, Toshi? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got you. There you are. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Sorry about the technical difficulties. I'm a host, not a producer. They've left me here in charge of the buttons and the knobs and switches. How's it going, Toshi? Obviously, you're in town now. The show's tonight, right?
Yeah, it's tonight, and it's beautiful. I live in Brooklyn, and everybody back home is getting ready for a blizzard, so this is better.
Right, yeah, no, the weather's pretty good down here, I must say. And the theatre's beautiful there, at the Samueli Theatre. Really cool place to play, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward, man.
So there's two shows, tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And you're playing with the band, with your band, The Big Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm playing with the all-women's version of my band. I have a lot of musicians that come in and out of the band, and I brought a bunch of all-star women musicians with me out here, so it's going to be fun.
Well, people are saying online, reading online about you, people are saying, you know, the show's like a cross between Sly and the Family Stone and Joni Mitchell, which is it's quite a juxtaposition. And it's, you are so funky, my dear. And you know, you're actually what's wrong with the mainstream media and radio, because it's shameful that you know you're not being played on the big radio stations the way I think you should. Or am I wrong? Are you being played on the big radio stations?
I don't think I'm being played on all the big radio stations, but you know, it's not the thing I've always really loved to do is reach people however I can reach people. There's some big radio stations that are big fans of mine and play my music, and some small radio stations, and you know, a lot of people on the internet, blah blah blah, and the fans pass me along, and that, to me, it's just really important to have a great career and a long career. So I would choose where I am now over like having one gigantic big hit single.
Sure.
Then nobody knows who you are for the rest of your life. So
right.
This is cool.
Yeah. No, well, you've done a lot of things. I mean, you started out dropping out of college and going on tour with Lenny Kravitz. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I bet it was. Was that like a kind of a real baptism? Was it a gradual process to get to that spot and play those big gigs?
It was really easy. Lenny, this was a long time ago when he was really starting out as well. But he was already signed to a major label. And, you know, friend of a friend, we went to watch him do a video shoot in Central Park. And they were looking for extras to come and dance in the video. And I was just watching. And then somebody told him I sang. And then you know, one of my very good friends now, Lil Koi, who's also known as Lisa Bonet, she invited me to their house. And so I went to their house, and he just was like, and this is how he is to this day. He's just very spontaneous. And he was like, you should open some shows for me. And I was like, okay. And people say stuff all the time, so I never expected to hear back from him again. And then I get this call, like, do you want to open 5 shows? And I opened 5 shows on his first world tour, and right after that, he refused to do any to go on stage unless I sang before him.
That's awesome.
So it led to like, you know, going to Europe a couple of times and traveling through the States, and then me getting signed on major labels. So he's a very generous and spontaneous spirit, and it was a great way to kind of you know, jumpstart my career to a wider audience. It was a lot of fun.
What an awesome story. What a great guy. Because, you know, a lot of people, they don't want somebody great opening up for them. You know what I mean? They don't want the competition. So
yeah, he was in his younger days, too. I mean, he's fantastic still now. But I feel bad for anybody who didn't see him those first couple of years when he was touring. He was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he would come off the stage with bruises all over his body from, like, playing the tambourine against himself. And he was a maniac. It was awesome to see him just, like, you know, come into himself. It was a good time.
Fantastic. Well, watching videos of you, you clearly, as you say, it's not obviously your guiding force isn't to be rich and famous. The point is the music. You're clearly in love with the music. Are you having fun touring? Are you having fun with this new band of women?
Yeah, I like to play live more than anything else. I like to be in the moment, and it's been very, you know, I'm probably my own worst enemy in terms of, like, putting together music videos or things like that. I have friends who are really good at it, and they are responsible for anything you see of me online, because I literally will not post a single video of anything. And and so I have a great time at live shows. I think that it's really, really important for people to come together, you know, be perfect strangers inside of a space and have a transformative situation happen that you know, really, you know, crosses race and age and you know, gender and everything. And I think music or theater or anything that's kind of a live experience we can all share is the best way to do that. And, you know, more than a lot of talking and, you know, getting mad at each other. So it's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
And I do it with all kinds of musicians. So this just happens to be an all-women's version of my band. But when we get back home, if you all could come to New York, you'll see a whole bunch of people joining me on stage.
Yeah, well, it's very welcoming. Even just watching you on video, you feel drawn into the sort of part of you feel part of the scene as an audience member. I should say I'm talking to Toshi Regan. She's playing tonight at Segerstrom Centre for the Arts in Costa Mesa. Tickets are $25. You can find them online at the Segerstrom's website. And there's also another show tomorrow night. So there's two shows tonight and tomorrow night at the Segerstrom Centre for the Arts. Now, I see, there's a little video of you on the Segerstrom's website, and you say in the video that you were the musical director of an opera. Can you tell us about that? What happened there?
I've been a part of four different operas, and the latest one that I'm doing is actually one that is based out here in California. It's called a Parable of the Sower, and it's written by. The book, it's based on a novel by Octavia E. Butler. She died in 2006, but she's a very, very, very well-known African-American science fiction author and kind of the godmother of Afrofuturism. I don't know if any of your audience has heard of that, but it's basically this very cool movement to look at most science fiction that have been written don't have a lot of black people or people of color in it.
Right,
and
right,
so
right.
It's kind of like, looking at the future, we're not there. So there's kind of a movement, a really young artist, a very diverse group of artists, really trying to change that and project, you know, people of color into the future, even as we imagine what the future is. Parable of the Sower takes place in a community about 20 miles outside of L.A., and it's her imagined trajectory. She wrote it in 1993. But it takes place in 2024, and it's her imagined trajectory of where we might be then. And so if you can look at some of the issues we have now as a society as a whole, economic disparity, environmental issues, violence, the terrible things, she imagines where they might be if we sped ahead, and they're obviously not very good. And in this story... They look at, like, why did we get to that point? And the era that people kind of seem to not, you know, respond to the crisis is the era we're in right now, 2015, 2016. How do we respond to all of these crises that we all can see around us, no matter who we are?
Yeah.
And so I thought it was important to present this opera to communities because I don't want there to be an even worse situations happening on the planet, and I think all of us can do something about it. So what better way than theater and music to tell a hard story with a hopeful ending.
Yeah, so to reach people, sure. Well, you know, yeah, I don't know so if it's true. I don't know if it's true of every kind of generation, but we does feel like we're at a kind of turning point with climate change and race problems and, you know, world war and all that kind of stuff going on. It really does feel like that. Excuse me, Tosha. Yeah. And interesting that she, you know, she wrote this story about a place 20 miles away from LA because she's from Pasadena originally. She's really close by Octavia Butler. And it's also interesting that you mentioned also that that she's one of the few black science fiction writers, and that is true. I mean, obviously, I can't think of another one, actually. And I'm not bad here. But, you know, and I wanted to ask you, actually, it brings me to another question, which I wasn't sure whether I would ask you or not. What do you think about this Hollywood controversy, this whole thing of Will Smith and Spike Lee deciding not to go to the Oscars this year because black people are underrepresented in the Academy's choices?
I mean, I think they're a part of that world, and I think it's good for them to challenge the Academy, because that's, you know, I'm not a part of that world, you know. I've stopped watching the Oscars, the Grammys, and things like that years and years ago. I just read so many things about the manipulation of, you know, the votes and things like that, so I don't have any faith in it. I don't take away from people who enjoy it as an evening of entertainment, but that's what it is. It's very, very kind of very presented, you know. Even when you watch this show, everybody, all of a sudden, all these actors become very formal and uptight, and it's not a good TV show.
No.
You know, it's not
very
like,
relaxed.
Really,
it's not very welcoming, as you say. You don't feel like you're part of it. You really feel like they're sort of, they're way above you in their ivory little sort of tower up there. I agree.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So I think it does everybody a disservice. Like, you know, the American public and the international public supports movies, all kinds of films. And so to have like a very, 94% white and 74% male, to have those be the people who choose to, like, out of all the films on the planet, you know, is just stupid. Like, I just wouldn't want a product like that. I think you're not honoring actually the public, the movie going public.
Right.
But I think Spike and Jada and Will have a right to say something, because they're a part of that. They work in that industry on that level.
Right.
You know, and
they're saying,
and
it feels to them,
to them.
It feels to them that there's a sort of slide towards racism here, even if it's not overtly racist now. There's a slide toward something that's not cool in the future. So they're making a stand.
Yeah, and I think what they're talking about is the systemic racism, you know, and I think people get confused. People hate to hear the word racism, or they hate to be called a racist, but when you are called a racist, or people talk about racism, they're talking about a system. It's different than bigotry, which I think people confuse it with. Bigotry is just, you just don't like somebody because of who they are. Racism is actually systemic. And so what people are doing is they're attacking the Academy for their systemic racism, because you are racist in America if you have a system that's supposed to represent the broader culture and it's mostly white and male. That is a racist system.
Right. So it's the institutions. Is that what you're saying? It's in the institutions rather than just
one. It's an institution. Yeah. Exactly. So I think it should be more than Will and Jada. And I'm looking at the white artists, and I'm saying, where are your voices? Because that would make it actually a better thing to hear from a lot of different actors. We just found out how you know, nobody's going to cry for famous actors, but we found out through those leaks that the women get paid so much less than the men in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So you know, let's balance everything out, and let's give more opportunities to some of these brilliant young, you know, filmmakers that are coming around. And I don't know, maybe in 5 to 10 years we'll get a better television show as well. But it certainly isn't the number one thing on my agenda, I will tell you that.
Yeah, no, mine either. I'm boycotting it, but I boycott it every year, so that's all right. You know, whatever.
And me too.
Frankly, the choices this year are dreadful as well, honestly.
It's horrific.
They're just rubbish anyway. You know, black or white, I wouldn't want to be in that group of people anyway this year, to be honest with you. You know. Anyway, listen, the show is tomorrow. We've kind of got off topic, but the show is tomorrow. If you don't know who Tosha Regan is, You should go online and Google. I'm telling you, this is going to be a funky, welcoming, warm, funny show.
Absolutely.
With this lady. And I just think that the Segerstrom Centre for the Arts are magnificent for broadening their horizons over the last few years and putting people like Toshi on, because it's just really, really cool. So the shows are tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 to 9:30, it says here. Toshi Regan and the Big and Big Lovely, not the Big Lovely, Big Lovely. Tickets start at $25, and that is magnificent. Thanks for talking to me, Toshi. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Take care and have great shows.
Okay, love. Bye.
Bye-bye.